And once again, welcome. It is good to see all of whom we have with us. As was mentioned in the announcements, we do have visitors with us today, and we actually have quite a number of visitors, some who have not been with us before, and others who are former members, and we're grateful for the presence of each and every one of you. We are honored by your presence, and we do want to invite you to come back every opportunity that you would have to do so. We assemble each Sunday evening at 6 for an evening worship service. We have Bible studies at 9:45 on Sunday mornings, as well as at 7:30 on Wednesday evenings. And of course, you're invited to any and every one of those services. If you have questions about something that you observe in the way that we worship God, or if you have questions about something that I say in my lesson this morning, I'd be more than happy to speak with you following the services. We remind ourselves continually here that when we assemble together to worship, we realize that it's not about us. It's about God. And that means that we have to respect the instructions that He has given us. That is so important that we apply that when we realize He is the one that we are striving to please. So if we don't do things the way that everybody else does, we can show you in God's Word why we do things the way that we do. And that is our goal in all that we do, which is why our sermons are filled with scriptures and true to the message of God's Word. Having said that, this morning we are going to continue a study that we are engaged in throughout this year. This is a part of a theme for the year that I have entitled, Let Us Go On to Perfection. And of course, it's actually part of a 3-year study that I'm engaged in here with this congregation. Last year we talked about going back to the basics, and we had addressed a number of fundamental doctrines that the Scriptures teach. And this year we're following up with that based on Hebrews chapter 5, and verse number 12 through chapter 6 and verse number 1, where we're told to go on to perfection in our lives. And the idea of our studies this year is to understand what it means to be a Christian. And what we've typically done is each month we've devoted a theme, or I should say a sub-theme, to the actual theme that we are dealing with. We've talked about the mindset of a Christian in the month of January. And both February and March, we talked about what is a Christian, and we looked at various descriptions in Scripture. And beginning this month, we are dealing with growing spiritually, and that's going to go into some practical applications throughout the rest of the year. We're going to talk about things that we ought to do and what the Scripture says about doing those things in a manner that is pleasing to God. Now, last week we dealt with the subject of spiritual growth. And we talked about what it means to grow spiritually, and we appealed primarily to two texts. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, where Peter there said that you are to desire the pure or the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. And we spent the majority of our time in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, where Peter talks about how you build on your faith. You add to your faith virtue and knowledge and self-control and perseverance or patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And those are the qualities that we need to develop in our lives if we are to grow the way that we ought to. Well, in our lesson this morning, what we are going to talk about is we are going to talk about reaching your full potential. And I realize that that's an interesting statement to give consideration to. What exactly do we mean by the idea of potential? Well, according to the dictionary, the word potential is a word that can be used either as an adjective or a noun, and that's the primary ways that it is used. When it is used as an adjective, it has a reference to having or showing the capacity to become or develop into something in the future. So the idea is that you have the ability to develop into something. And then the other word, which is as a noun, is those qualities and abilities that have been developed. And as a result of that, they are leading to success in your life. So when we talk about the idea of reaching your potential, the idea that we have in mind there is that you become everything that you ought to be. The potential is what you have the capacity to be. Reaching your potential is reaching that point. Now, of course, we live in a society where this is very much a concern. We hear a lot in society about the need to reach your full potential. And the truth is that in our society, there are many who do not do that. And it's actually not encouraged in many different ways. It's a great concern because of indifference and lackluster performances that are so prevalent and even accepted among so many in society. There are those who are content to just get by with just enough. And they figure, I don't need to do everything that they ought to be doing. We're living in a society that many aspects is dealing with mediocrity. And it's the product of many things that are being taught within our society. For example, a lack of accountability, a lack of absolute moral integrity, and various other qualities such as that lead to people just living nominal lives. Well, one thing that we find in scriptures is that's not the way God wants us to be. He does not want us to live nominal lives. But sadly, even among the Lord's people, in the Lord's church in many places, there is this lack of reaching one's full potential. There is this lack of reaching to the point of where you can be, where you ought to be. We just become self-satisfied. We become complacent. We become apathetic and indifferent. And that becomes a concern. And that's really what I want to talk about. Now, one thing I do need to say is the Bible never uses, at least the King James Version, New King James Version, never uses the word potential in itself. But I will tell you right now, as we're going to see this morning, the idea is found all throughout Scripture. And it is something that we need to give potential, or we need to give consideration to. When we think about potential, one thought to consider is the opposite of potential is an ungodly attitude. And there are many qualities that are addressed in Scripture which describe one that fails to reach their potential. For example, those who quit. There are many who quit or fall away. In 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, a passage that we've examined earlier this year, Paul is describing the athlete. And he talks about how the athlete strives to win the race. And that's the way that we ought to conduct ourselves. In verse number 27, Paul even says of himself, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. And the idea there is to fail to reach the goal. You fail to reach the goal, you haven't reached your potential. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 15, the Hebrew writer warns against falling short of those things. What the Bible says about the idea of being complacent, the apathy or indifference, mediocrity, laziness, being lukewarm. Think about the church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. You want an example of a church that failed to reach its potential? You have there a church that the angel of the Lord says, God speaking, I would rather that you be cold than to be lukewarm as you are. You become complacent, self-satisfied. You don't think you need to do anymore. And he says, I'll spit you or I'll vomit you out of my mouth. That's strong wording to a lukewarm church. And the idea of lukewarm is a failure to reach to the level that you ought to have. I think of Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 10 where he says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. The idea is Paul, he left Paul, he abandoned Paul. He was capable of standing with Paul, but he chose not to. So you can see in all of these passages the danger of failing to reach one's potential, and these are all subjects that the Bible addresses. But even beyond that, there are numerous examples and passages of Scripture that talk about our potential, and I want to notice a few of those. I want to begin by going to Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. And what we have in this passage is, beginning in verse number 4, Jeremiah is being called as a prophet to go and tell the children of Israel what they need to hear, the children of Judah. He's a prophet in Judah. Jerusalem is in the process of being destroyed by Babylon. It took place over about 20 years and in about three different ways. And Jeremiah stays behind while Ezekiel is carried away into captivity. And Jeremiah just tells the people, it's not going to get better. Prepare to go into captivity. It's going to happen. They didn't want to hear it. But when the Lord calls him, I want you to notice what it says here in verse 4 of Jeremiah 1. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, and this is Jeremiah, then I said, ah, Lord God, but I cannot, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Now what you have in this text is the Lord comes to Jeremiah and he says, I want you to go to my people. He says, I can't, I'm too young. Of course the Lord says, no you're not. You've got the ability to do this. I will help you do what you need to do. So here was Jeremiah. The Lord says, you have the potential to do what I need you to do. And he did. Another example along that lines is Moses. Also talked about this earlier this year, so I just mentioned this. In Exodus chapters 4 and 5, you have these excuses that Moses makes when the Lord appears to him at the burning bush, and he says, I want you to go deliver my people, and Moses just makes all kinds of excuses. One of those, he says, I'm not eloquent in speech. I can't speak properly. The Lord says, I'll be with you. Yes, you can do this. You have the ability to do what I want you to do. You have the potential to deliver these people. And you know what? He did. We read about it in the rest of the book of Exodus. I think of Nehemiah. Nehemiah who goes to Jerusalem, and the background of this is in the year 536 B.C., Jerusalem, or the inhabitants of Jerusalem, are allowed to return from Babylonian captivity at the instructions of Cyrus. So they're allowed to return to Jerusalem, and when they get to Jerusalem, they take about 20 years to build the temple, but they take about 80 or 90 years to rebuild the walls, to repair the walls. Nehemiah comes along, and I want you to picture this. The city's been destroyed, it's lying in ruins for 90 years. And then Nehemiah comes and he inspires the people, and in 52 days, they rebuild the walls to the city. Now that tells me that for about 89 and a half years, they had the potential to do what they needed to do, and they didn't do it. Nehemiah comes along and tells them, you can do this. And they did. Of course, there is another verse in there in chapter 4 and verse number 6, which explains why. The people had a mind to work. They were willing to do what they needed to do. I think of the example of Jesus sending out His apostles as recorded in Luke chapter 9 in the first few verses there. Luke chapter 9 verses 1 through 5. It says He called the 12 disciples together, gave them powers and authority over all demons to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And He said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake the very dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Verse number 6, they departed and went throughout the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now, I believe there's a reason why Jesus said, don't take anything with you. And the reason was, He wanted them to know that God was with them. He wanted them to know the potential that they had with God on their side. That's why He said, just go. You don't need
You don't need a bunch of stuff to go. Just go. God will be with you. And he proved it. In verse number 10, when they returned, they talked about all that they had accomplished. So you see there an example of that. You know, on another occasion in Matthew 17 and verse 20, Jesus says, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, get up and be moved and cast into the ocean, and it will happen. That's what faith can do. You have the potential. You will just use it. So that's emphasized. One other thought on this, and I know this isn't exactly an example, but I think it applies. It's the Word of God. How is it described? In Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse number 12, the Word of God is described as living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It has the ability to separate soul and spirit. That's potential. Romans 1 and verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You can look at more and more examples of that. So we can see examples of how God expects us to develop ourselves to the best that we can possibly be. And that's the idea of reaching your full potential. But let's notice some passages of scriptures. For example, in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and here Paul is speaking to young Timothy, giving him instructions as a preacher. And among the things that he says to him in verse number 14 is he says, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. I want you to notice Paul tells Timothy, do not neglect the gift that is in you. He's saying you have the ability to use these things. Use them. And he emphasizes that over and over with Timothy. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 6, Paul's final letter that we have recorded, he writes to Timothy in verse number 6. And he talks about there, where he makes the point, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Stir up the gift of God in your life. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse number 5, Paul says there of Timothy. He makes the point there. He says, but you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. You're a minister of the gospel. Fulfill your responsibilities in that matter. Reach your potential. You become everything that God wants you to be in that. Another example of potential is found in Matthew chapter 25. In the parable of the talents, as it is described there. And of course you have here where Jesus is teaching a parable, and it's actually about judgment. It's about how we're going to be held accountable for whether or not we've done what we ought to do. And of course the way that this particular parable begins here is, it says the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, verse 14, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 1, and to each, to one 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. What's the idea of that according to his ability? Could we rephrase that? According to his potential? What he was able to do. That's the point. And of course, the rest of the parable, he goes on a journey, and when he returns, and he demands an accounting for them having reached their potential. And to the 5-talent man, he stands before him and he delivers 10 talents to him. To the 2-talent man, he stands before him and gives him 4 talents. And to both of them, the master says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your Lord. But then the one talent man comes along and he says, I was afraid of you. I took your talent. I hid it in the ground. I didn't use it. Here, you can have it back. His master was angry with him and called him a wicked and lazy servant. He said, cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Friends, we know the application to us in this. Every one of us has abilities. Every one of us has talents. And whatever talents we have, God expects us to use our talents. Now, I do want to make a quick observation here. This is interesting, as the two servants that did everything that they could, the two talent and the five talent servant, they reached the fullest of their ability with those things. I wonder about one who uses part of his abilities. You know, say for example, you have a two talent man, but he only raises one more talent. He doesn't reach his full potential. Would the master be pleased with him? Just wonder about that. We just know that when you don't do what you're able to do, because they had their ability and they failed to carry out their ability. I suspect by looking at the one talent man, that master expected that two talent man to be able to gain two more talents. So if he had only done a half-hearted or a lukewarm or a mediocre job, he would have been held accountable for that. Just like the one talent man was held accountable for doing nothing. We have talents. We have potential. As a matter of fact, turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. In this particular passage here, Paul is speaking to the brethren. And he says there, beginning in verse number 3, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. God has given each one of us an ability. And he goes on in verse number 4, for as we have many members in one body, but the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And I appeal to 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 27, where Paul describes the body and how every part's important. Not every part has the same function. Not everybody can do the same thing, but everybody can do something. And whatever your function is, that's what you need to be doing. Well, Paul goes on as we continue here. Verse number 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. What I like about this verse is there's passages in Scripture that talk about the gifts that people had and they were miraculous in nature. This one mentions one gift that's miraculous. The rest of them are just things we all do. And you can even make application to the prophecy. Do you have prophecy? I have this right here. This is the prophetic word of God, and I can use this with the ability that I have. But the point of this text is we all have abilities. And whatever your ability is, Paul makes the point that you do it to the best of your ability. If you're able to give, do it with liberality. If you lead with diligence. If you show mercy, do it with cheerfulness. Do it with the best, the greatest of your potential. Whatever that might be. And 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse number 10. 1 Peter 4 and verse number 10. Peter there says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That's the attitude that we need to have. Well, there's more. In Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse number 13. We read in this particular text, Paul there says in verse 13, he talks about till we come to the unity of the faith
and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is in the midst of a context beginning in verse number 11 and going through verse number 16. You could actually take it back to verse 1 if you want to. And I could take it all the way back to verse 1 of chapter 1. But the point is being made here is as he emphasizes unity, he's talking about how God gave leaders. And those leaders, their purpose is to build you up. Their purpose is to edify. And it's interesting, in Scripture, the term edify doesn't refer to social meals. The term edify doesn't refer to having fun and getting together and going to the movies or going out to the beach or doing whatever. The term edify, as it's used in Scripture, is about building each other up spiritually. It's about growing in the Word of God. And that's what you find in this text. Notice, he says there in verse number 11, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, which would be elders and teachers, every one of those are teachers. Every one of those who are instructed in the Word of God. And he says that these, they equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He talks about, we need these things till we become perfect. You want to know another way to describe perfect in this verse? You reach your full spiritual potential. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And when we have that, he goes on and he describes it there that we're not like children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, cunning craftiness of men. In other words, you catch somebody when they try to deceive you. And in verse 15, you speak the truth in love and you grow up in all things into Him who is the head, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying, for the building up of itself in love. Every part does its share. You know what he's saying there? When every part does its share, the body, the church is going to reach its potential. That's the point. And we have to work together in order to accomplish that. Verse 7 of Ephesians 4. But to each of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. We've all been given something. Use that which you've been given. Another passage you might give consideration to is in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Here, Paul is writing from prison in Rome to brethren in Philippi who are facing persecution, and his message is rejoice. His message is to rejoice in the Lord always. And he gives himself as an example, noting the things that he's endured and how he doesn't give up. And he also points out that I'm not there yet. For example, in Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, Paul there makes the point, he makes the point there, not that I've already attained, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind it, not that I've already attained, or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And that's 14 and 15. Philippians 3, 14 and 15. I press toward the goal. I'm not there yet. I want you to notice in that Paul says, even though I'm not there yet, I have the ability to get there. I have the potential to reach the goal. And that's why I'm going to keep moving forward in that direction until I reach that goal. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and in verse number 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and in verse number 10. Solomon there says, whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device, or knowledge, or wisdom in the grave where you're going. Whatever you do, do it with all your might, with all your ability, to the fullness of your potential. in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse number 23. Paul there says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. In Mark chapter 14 and in verse number 8. And you have here as a final observation on some of these things, we have examples in the life of Jesus of people that were doing everything that they could. In this particular text here, we have Jesus is visiting with the Pharisees, and there's a woman that comes in with a costly bottle of oil, and she takes and anoints the feet of Jesus with that oil. Her disciples are critical of her, or His disciples, not hers. The disciples of Jesus are critical of this oil being wasted. And Jesus says, let her alone. She's preparing me for my burial. And He says there, she has done what she could do. She's done what she's able to do. That's her ability. He gives another example in Mark chapter 12 and verse 42. And just to kind of remind you of the context of this, the overall context, Jesus has already entered Jerusalem preparing to die. This is the week in which He will be crucified. And He's doing a number of things in the temple. He's teaching a number of things. And you read there on one occasion in Mark chapter 12 where He's observing the treasury and He's observing everybody putting their money into the treasury, and I don't know how much of a show some of them were making of it. But Jesus knew what was going on. And there's this poor little widow that comes in, and all she has is 2 mites. And in our language, you might say 2 cents. 2 pennies. Nothing. Very, very little in the scheme of things. And I can picture the attitude of some. I don't know if this was right there, but I know we see this attitude today where people see that. Is that all you're going to give? Why waste your time? And their attitude is just that of pompous arrogance. They're so much better than you. That's all you give. Look at what I give. Well, here, this lady, she puts these 2 pennies in, and Jesus speaks to His disciples and said, you realize that she has given more than everybody else. Why? Because she gave everything she had. She gave to the fullness of her potential. Maybe we need to think about that when we give. Are we giving as we have the potential to give? Or are we somewhere under that? And you could apply that in many areas of your life. So it's my hope that as we look at these things, that we can see that the Bible encourages us to reach our full potential. To become everything that God would have us to be. But of course that leads to the question, how do I do that? How do I reach my potential? And I'm just going to mention some things here as we begin to bring this lesson to its conclusion. Number one, you need to grow spiritually. And that goes back to last week. That goes back to what we've been dealing with all year long. By this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again. And he goes on, you need to reach that point in verse 14 of Hebrews 5 where you can digest meat. Grow up. Mature. You've got to do that. You've got to be willing to do that if you are going to become everything that God would have you to be. Something else that I think is extremely important is honest examination. And I don't just say examination. You know, 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. And that's a great passage to tell us from time to time we need to look at our lives. You know, I'll use that verse usually. I'll use that verse in January or late December, encouraging us to keep New Year's resolution. And quite often I'm reminded, rightfully so, that it doesn't just apply in January. Folks, it's May. It's May. Read 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. And I tell you, honestly examine yourself. And what I mean by the idea of honest examination is you need to be brutally honest with yourself. Am I really everything that I ought to be? Am I doing as much as I ought to do in, and you just list the area.
Am I studying God's Word the way that I ought to? Am I praying the way I ought to? Do I support the Lord's body, His church, the way that I ought to? Am I the type of an example to my neighbors that I ought to be? Have I reached my fullest potential in those areas? We need to honestly examine ourselves. And until you do that, you're not going to know where you are compared to where you need to be. In addition to that, though, you have to deal with obstacles. And we're going to talk about more of this. We're going to talk about a lot of these things a little later on in the year as we go on with dealing with going on to perfection. You got to remove obstacles. I promise you the devil is there. And he's going to throw as many obstacles as he can in your way. He's going to do what he can to take your time away from you. He's going to do what he can to take your resources away from you. He's going to try to discourage you. He's going to do everything he can. And you just can't let those get in your way. But how many people are there today that will rather than go provide for themselves, they'll say there's a lion in the street. And so that's what Solomon says in Proverbs. You know, they make up some ridiculous excuse to get out of providing for themselves and their family as an example. How many use obstacles? The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 12, after giving all these great examples of faith, tells us there to lay aside the weight. Lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. And that's another passage. It's talking about a goal. We're running a race. And we're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's at the goal line. And that's what we're reaching for. That's where we reach our fullest potential. You just need to keep moving in that direction. Don't let obstacles keep you from being what you ought to be. In addition to that, we need to learn to trust in God. And I think this is something that we continually need to remind ourselves of. We need to remind ourselves that being here is not about us. I realize we're built up and we're edified when we're here. But it's about God. And that's the mindset that we need to have as Christians. We are stewards. We are servants of God. And it's about Him. That needs to be our mindset. And that is constantly emphasized in Scripture. In the 1 Corinthians 3, 5-8, that's where Paul talks about how I plant, Apollos waters, it's God that gives the increase. Let God give the increase. I'm just going to do the work that I'm able to do. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, he talks about he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. God is greater than all mankind. In Matthew 19 and verse 26, with God all things are possible. And I know there's a context there. But the point is God is all powerful. It's about Him. We are personally told ourselves in Philippians 4 and verse number 13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 5, Paul said to that congregation, our sufficiency is in Christ. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, the Hebrew writer said, now may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. I want you to notice in that text, he says, may He make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight. That needs to be the attitude that we have. And if you are to reach that point to where you are what you need to be, you need to be thinking about God in the process. Another thing we need to give consideration to is we need to think positively. And I hesitate to use that word because it's misused. It's misused in the religious world today. You can turn on some of these radio preachers and that's all you're going to get is pablum. You're going to get what Joshua described. You're going to get meat-flavored water. That's all they're going to give you. And all they tell you about is the positive things. And I'm going to tell you, there's some things about that we need to deal with. And actually, we're going to talk about it next week. We'll talk about the optimism and the positive attitude that we need to have as Christians. But it needs to be realistic, and that's my point. But there is a place for telling yourself, I can do this. Because when you say, I can't, you've defeated yourself before you start. So if you're going to reach your full potential, you have to know what your potential is, and you need to tell yourself, I can do this. Like I said, next week. And then you make up your mind that you're going to do your best. Romans 12:1 talks about presenting your bodies a living sacrifice. That's what we need to do. You know, you're reminded there in Malachi 1 and verse number 8 about the half-hearted, lukewarm attitude that they had back then. And truly it was sad. And finally, do it. Get to work. I can promise you all the motivational lessons in the world. All the motivation in the world will get you nowhere if you don't get up and get to work. It's just that simple. You will not reach your full potential. You will not reach any potential if you do not get up and get to work. And that's what we got to do. So the lesson's yours.